Welcome to another ABC Radio National podcast. For more information, go to abc.net.au/rn.
The holiest date on the Christian calendar. And what were the medieval Christians doing? They were staging plays. Hello, this is The Ark on ABC Radio National with me, Rachel Kahn. Mystery plays were full of music, singing, and real acting with the aim of getting the audience swept up in the story. One of those stories was The Visit to the Sepulchre, when the three Marys went to retrieve the body of Christ to prepare it for burial. But they were in for a surprise. In the week following Easter, the Song Company, directed by Belgian-born Roland Peelman, is staging the mystery play known in Latin as Visitatio Sepulchri.
There is interest in mystery, definitely. I think it's fair to say that very few people know about mystery plays. You know, we all have some vague memories, usually about ancient history lessons, where the word might have been mentioned. You know, the play of Daniel, various other examples of early medieval plays from the Middle Ages and so on. Actually, only just days ago, somebody showed me photographs of the first Australian production of the play of Daniel, 1961. It had luminaries like Germaine Greer and other people in it, believe it or not.
Germaine Greer in a mystery play?
Yes, it's hard to imagine, isn't it? But she's done her best, I think, to unravel some mysteries. But mystery can refer to all kinds of things, miraculous events, the fact that the laws of nature are defied, as in this particular play that we are presenting next week. And I think that's really what it refers to. Usually, plays in the Middle Ages took the lives of saints and various other people as subject material, you see. That was the starting point. So there was usually some mystery, some miracle, some legend, some myth involved, and I think that's where the mystery comes. But it's also fair to say that presenting it as a play, that is, as theatre, even within the church context, enhances perhaps the mystery. It is like painting, creating a new mystery for everyone to experience.
Well, let's find out about the mystery play that you've chosen to direct and stage for the Song Company, Visitation to the Sepulchre. What are the origins of that play?
Oh, the origins, Rachel, actually go back quite a long way. The origins itself is one single line from the Gospel of Luke, actually, where the angel asks the three Marys approaching the sepulchre, "Who are you looking for?" Quem queritis in sepulchro is the original Latin line. And it is that very line which features in the offices of Easter morning and so on that's been gradually elaborated on in different ways, to different extent, I have to say, in different parts of Europe. But that sort of started around the 9th century. And out of that, several hundred years later, the idea of an entire drama, an entire play, an entire mystery play, whatever you call it, grew. But it's that single line which is the germ, if you want, of a new form of theatre, which was part of the church.
And where did you find your text for the play?
We found it, or perhaps other people before us found this, in a very old manuscript dated around 1200, so we are talking 800 years old, and known as the Fleury Playbook, a book and a very valuable manuscript, obviously, which is now in a library in Orléans in France, which reputedly came from the big abbey of Fleury, which was one of the great centres of medieval learning and artistic activity as well. The book actually contains 10 plays all up. It's several plays about St. Nicholas, for example, the play about the slaughter of the innocents. But amongst those 10, this play called Visitatio Sepulchri, or The Visit to the Sepulchre, an extraordinary play. And the one play, too, perhaps, that has the strongest history, as I was referring to this line, Quem Queritis. In this particular play, it's one small segment only of the play, and it gives sort of an example of how far theatrical thinking and also the idea of a play within the church on Easter morning had developed by that stage. We tend to think a little bit of plays like Visitatio as the beginning of Western drama. But actually, it's already the result of 200, 300 years of certain activity in the church.
Now, this particular play, was it the only Easter play as such in the Fleury book?
Indeed it is.
Well, tell me about the main characters in The Visitation to the Sepulchre.
Well, the libretto, Rachel, is actually taken from not just one gospel, but all four gospels, right? But the story of how the three Marys, being Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Mary Salome, so not Mary the mother of Christ, there's often confusion about this, how those three Marys went to the grave on Easter morning, on the Sunday morning, in order to anoint the body, to embalm the body, etc., to enact the last rituals, if you want. So those three ladies are absolutely crucial. And amongst those three, Mary Magdalene, who is the first Mary in the play, takes on an even more prominent role. Because, as you know, the three Marys approach the sepulchre and there's an angel waiting for them, basically sitting in front of the tomb, who says, you know, what are you looking for? He's risen. He's not here. Nothing to be found. You know, don't worry. And it's interesting how the play is constructed and how whoever wrote this down, because we don't really know, but how he used the various accounts of the resurrection, as in the other Gospels as well, Mark and Luke, and then particularly John, using the specific story of Mary Magdalene, not taking no for an answer, and really wanting to go into the sepulchre to see with her own eyes what there was and what there wasn't, as if she is seeking closure, you could call it, right? And it is that which is the actual axis of the play, and the heart lies at the heart of Visitatio. And extraordinary account of it, of course, because there we do not just encounter the Marys or the angels, but Christ himself as a gardener. And she doesn't even recognize him, you see, at first. She is so overcome, probably, by grief and the inability to come to terms with it, that in her distress she doesn't even notice there's someone there who is obviously very ordinary, just a common gardener. And a little conversation evolves in which he calls out her name, at which point she recognizes him.
I want to ask you about the musical dimension of these plays, the mystery plays, and in particular this one. Were you working from an original musical score?
Yes, in a sense we were, not from physically the manuscript, but various studies have been made about these plays over the last 50 years particularly, and people are still discovering many new things. Of this particular play, there are already two different editions. One, an edition from the 70s, and which is probably disputable on various grounds, but there's also a more recent edition available, made in England actually less than 5 years ago, which basically presents the original musical notation of the piece, as well as all the stage directions. And this is most important, and this is also why this piece is so extraordinary, that it actually gives very elaborate and very detailed stage directions.
Roland, were the stage directions clear enough for you?
Crystal clear. The piece obviously was envisaged to be performed within the church, in the choir itself of the church, actually. And there's even certain lines in the play whereby the angels or the three Marys turn around and address the congregation, address the audience, saying, now this has just happened. Make sure you don't miss the next bit. It's almost like ensuring that the audience is taking along at every step of the way. Because, of course, the entire play is in Latin, which even at the time would not have necessarily been the language that normal people spoke. Obviously, the clergy spoke Latin, the intelligentsia, if you want, the literate people. But obviously, the church and the ritual within the church, whatever artistic endeavor in the church, was there to instruct the broad mass of people, of course. Obviously, they refer to the gospel or to the various gospels, but they also interestingly encourage the singers to act. You know, when the Marys are sad in the beginning and sorrowful, the stage directions say that in a sad way or in a glad way, or change the mood here. So there's some real interesting psychology.
It sounds also like there's a very clear interest in raising the emotion of the congregation. Do we assume that the congregation is getting involved and actually chanting?
There is no indication of that in the play, I must say. There is a sense of general rejoicing. But the play, I think, too, was really sort of written or emerged out of the need to fill this gap between the last offices of the morning, that is Matins, the end of that and the beginning of the actual Mass. The Mass traditionally is where the congregation gets involved, either through hymns or other forms of chanting, etc. And this is clearly something designed for actors or singers, brethren. The manuscript actually mentions that. You see, brothers, people who would have worked there at the Abbey, either in Fleury or somewhere else. So there is no indication of getting the audience involved, however, directly that is. But the Song Company has been producing Easter events for the last 4 years now. And we have always endeavoured to involve the audience as much as possible.
In medieval times and all the way up into the 19th century, these mystery plays often incited a great deal of emotion and sometimes even violence, mob violence, particularly against the Jews who were seen as the killers of Christ. Is there any trace of that kind of sentiment in the Visitation to the Sepulchre?
Well, I hate to say that indeed this piece, like most other medieval pieces, is not totally free of anti-Jewish sentiment. However, there are, I think, two or three small instances where the Jewish people are cursed for what they have done. But let us, however, not forget that within the play, the three Marys are Jewish women.
But does that really counterbalance the, you know, the sentiment? Or have you been inclined to rewrite?
No, we have not rewritten a single line. Jesus himself, the three Marys, the disciples, all were Jews. When later on in the piece, Christ appears as the risen Lord, he actually appears in the full regalia, including the phylacteries, etc., the symbols of being a Jew. So it also, when earlier on in the play, when the three Marys utter their sorrow and their distress, and when they sing, O plebs execranda, these execrable people, they actually refer to themselves. You know, the kind of guilt we all feel when some of our best men has been treated unjustly or has been killed, as in this case. Everybody somehow feels guilty.
When Jesus appears with the phylacteries, is that a medieval instruction or is that a modern?
No, that is exactly what is in the rubric in the stage direction. So it's not our invention.
Well, a mystery play leaves an indelible stamp on the audience. What does it do for the Song Company when it performs such an ancient and important part of the Christian tradition?
An extraordinary amount, much of which I think I find hard to put in words, to tell you the truth, Rachel. It's left an indelible mark on all of us, on all of us who have been involved, I think. We all come from different backgrounds, Rachel. You know, we are not all Christians in the same sense. You know, some of us are Catholics, some of us are lapsed Catholics, some of us are Anglicans, Evangelicals, etc. Some have Jewish background, etc. And that, it's been interesting and wonderful to come back and to come together, actually, in this kind of play.
Well, Roland Peelman, just as we go out, can you tell us what's happening in the Resurrexit Hodie?
Resurrexit Hodie. This is, again, towards the end of the play, whereby the three Marys have gone into the sepulchre to collect the shroud and the grave clothes, and they perform a certain ritual of joy and happiness.
How do they express that joy?
Well, it's a dance, actually. It's the what better to express joy than the dance, the eternal dance?
That's from The Visit to the Sepulchre, directed by Roland Peelman and staged in Parramatta at St. Patrick's Cathedral, April 11, and then at St. Mary's Cathedral in Sydney, the 12th to the 14th. Just go to our website for details at abc.net.au/religion and click the Arc. Next week, I catch up with the archaeologist who thinks he's discovered Jesus' tomb on the Ark with me, Rachel Kahn. Join me tonight for a different musical tempo, rap with Father Stan Fortuna, a Franciscan priest from the Bronx. That's The Spirit of Things tonight at 6.
You've been listening to another ABC Radio National podcast. ABC Radio National, on air and online, with many of our programs available as podcasts or MP3 downloads. All the details at abc.net.au/rn/podcast.